Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation out of town, the 12th Hour, in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is July the 12th, 2014, or it is the 16th day of the 4th lunar month, 2018. We will start our third service on this Sabbath day, the song entitled, The Lily of the Valley. I have found a friend in Yahshua, he's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. He's my comfort in trouble, he's my stay. He tells me every care I am to grow. The lily of the valley, the driving morning star, is the very step in thousand to my soul. He all my grief has taken, and all my sorrows borne. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken, and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me, and Satan tempts me sore, through Yahshua I shall safely resettle. He's a lily of the valley, a bright morning star, is a fairy step in thousands in our soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith in thee, his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. And sweeping up the glory, to see his blessed face, the rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's a lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, he's a fairest of 10,000 in our soul. Scepter, the lawgiver, and Ensign. We're going to do those three. This is a part three of the Ensign of Hebrews 1:8. Okay, so what are we looking at? We're looking at the Ensign. We're looking at the Scepter. So the title of this sermon actually will be part three of He says, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O Elohim, is forever and ever a scepter of righteousness, is a scepter of thy kingdom. So, a scepter of righteousness, part three. And we're going to bring in the lawgiver and the ensign in this one. So, we're going to start with the lawgiver. Well, actually, we're going to start with the scepter again. Genesis 49:10, it says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the getting of the people be. Okay, so the word lawgiver is mentioned seven times in seven verses in the KJV. The second one is Numbers 21:18. The princes dig the well, the nobles of the people digged it by the direction of the lawgiver with their staves. And from the wilderness they went to Matanah. Deuteronomy 33:21. And he provided the first part for himself because there is a portion of the lawgiver. There in a portion of the lawgiver was he sealed, and he came at the heads of the people. He executed the justice of the Yahweh and his judgments with the Israel. Okay, it says in Psalm 60:7, Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim also is the strength of my head, Judah is my lawgiver. Psalms 108:8, Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim also the strength of my head, Judah is my lawgiver. Isaiah 33:22, for the Yahweh is our judge, the Yahweh is our lawgiver, the Yahweh is our king, he will save us. Let's say that again. For the Yahshua is our judge, the Yahshua is our lawgiver, Yahshua is our king, he will save us. James 4:12, there is one a lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Okay, we're going to turn to the James chapter 4, and it looks like there is 17 verses there in James. Let's read all of them. It says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with the Yahweh? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of Yahweh. Do you think that the scripture says in vain the spirit that dwelleth in us lusts to envy? That he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, Elohim resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to Elohim, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to Elohim, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Okay, James 4:9. Be afflicted in mourning and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of Yahweh, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. If thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Now do you understand why Alan DeLong is not with us today? He's missed about 6 Sabbath days now since he got disgruntled and left out of here and spoke evil of me. And he judged me. He spoke evil of the law. He judged the law. Okay, and he said, if you judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. So Alan proved once and for all that he's not a doer of the law, but he's a judge of the law. And that's why he's not here today. Okay, James 4:12. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judges another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. For as ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. So that ye ought to say, if the Yahweh will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings of such rejoicing is evil. Therefore unto him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. There you have it, wrapped up in a nutshell. Okay, now we're going to go to another one here. It says in the word instant, it appears 8 times in 8 verses. The number's 2:2. Every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard with the ensign of their father's house, far off about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch. Isaiah 5:26. And he will lift up an ensign unto the nations from far, and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth, and behold, they shall come with a speed swiftly. Isaiah 11:10. And in that day there shall be a rod of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, unto it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glory. Isaiah 11:12. And he shall set up an ensign for the nation, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. All ye inhabitants of the world and dwellers on the earth, see ye when he lifted up an ensign on the mountain, and when he bloweth the trumpet, hear ye. That's in Isaiah 18:3. And the one in Isaiah 11:12, he says, he shall set up an ensign for the nation, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Okay, so now Judah's got to come from the four corners of the earth. They make up the lawgiver. Okay. Isaiah 30:17. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, at the rebuke of fire shall ye flee, shall ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, and as an ensign on a hill. Isaiah 31:9. And he shall pass over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign, saith the Yahweh, whose fire is in Zion, and his furnace in Jerusalem. Zechariah 9:16. And the Yahweh the Elohim shall save them in that day as a flock of his people, for they shall be as the stones of a crown, and lifted up as an ensign upon his land. Okay, there's your ensign, and so now we're going to go to the scepter. Well, we've got scepters mentioned 15 times. We've already done the scepter. Now let us continue on reading here from the Hebrews. We're going to do Hebrews chapter 10. And it says, for the law having a shadow of good things, to come, and not the very image of the things, and never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers there unto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged they should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of the sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of the bulls and of the goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In the burnt offerings and sacrifices for the sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me, to do thy will, O Yahweh. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering, an offering for sin, as thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O Yahweh. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of the Yahshua Messiah once for all. And every high priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down on the right hand of the Father, from the henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by the one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Spirit also is a witness unto us, for after that he had said before, this is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith Yahweh, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Hold fast without wavering, having therefore a brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Yahshua, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of the Yahweh. Now to get this here, the mountain of the house of Yahweh is the house of David, Micah 4 and Isaiah 2. It says, for the mountain of the house of Yahweh shall be established in the top of the mountain. So who is the high priest now over the house of Yahweh? Over the house of David. That high priest does not officiate over the Adventist church anymore. Ever since Gilead Center closed out in 2002, which represented the last bastion and official office for the Seventh-day Adventists, since it came to this end, the high priest has moved on. Matter of fact, the high priest is Yahshua that made the change from the 11th to the 12th hour. So the house of Yahweh is right here in Liberty Hill, Texas, and we have a high priest over this house. Verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart and the full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with the pure water. Now where are we to draw near to? We're to draw near to this house of Yahweh. And where's this house of Yahweh? It's right here in the Liberty Hill, Texas, where he has chosen to place his name in. Okay, so it says you're to draw near with a true heart and the full assurance of faith. Of faith what? Faith in the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Okay, sprinkled with what? Sprinkled by the blood of Yahshua. And our bodies washed with the pure water. Okay. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith, the faith in the blood of the Yahshua without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Okay. So if you sin willfully, and so what in the world do you think is going on here? When people have been following the sanctuary system for 33 years, and then all of a sudden they say, well, this guy don't have the truth. He doesn't have the truth anymore. Probably didn't think I ever had the truth. Okay. So he turns away from it. So I said, if we sin willfully. Okay. Meaning that, well, I don't have to keep that daily anymore. I don't have to perfect righteousness by establishing it daily faithfully on a daily basis. I don't have to do this. And I don't have to do that. No more. So the brother said, we don't have to do the daily no more. We don't have to do this no more. We don't have to do that no more. Okay, and so Yahweh said, okay, you don't ever have to do any of that stuff anymore. Because he says, I've been moved off on from you anyway, so you don't have to do anything you want to. Verse 27 of Hebrews 10. But a certain fearful looking for of the judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Okay, so our adversaries are going to be devoured right before our eyes. Because he's given judgment unto the house of Yahweh. Because why? Because we have a high priest over our house. That's why he's given judgment unto us. The high priest takes away our sins by his blood, Yahshua, in the heavenly sanctuary. And so where does that leave us? It leaves us with a spotless robe. And so therefore he makes you a judge. Okay, he that despises Moses' law died without the mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the son of Elohim and hath found the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified. an unholy thing. Now, I read to you in a previous study where Moses sprinkled everything, the vessels and the people, with the blood of the animal. That was the blood of the first covenant. Now, Yahshua is sanctifying his people by his blood, which represents the blood of the second covenant. And it represents the blood of the new covenant also that I will make with the house of Israel. The new covenant, the second covenant, are the one and the same. Wherewith he was sanctified and on holy things. So he said, and hath done the spot unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith Yahweh. And again, the Yahshua shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living Yahshua. Okay. But call unto remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of the affliction, partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by the reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that you have in the heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath a great recompense of the reward. For you have need of the patience, that after you have done the will of the Yahweh, you might receive the promise. Now first you got to have patience. And then after you've done the will of Yahweh, you might receive the promise. So you got to do two things first. You got to develop patience. You got to do the will of the Father, whatever He instructs you to do on a daily basis. Believe His prophets, so shall you prosper. Obey those that have the rule over you, because He watched for your souls as one that must give an account. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by the faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe unto the saving of the soul. Okay, that's the end of chapter 10. Now it says that, verse 1, we're going to do this faith chapter again. And we're going to add the blood. Every time we read the word faith, we're going to put the blood in there. That's where it belongs. It says that now faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of the things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of Yahweh, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto Elohim a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Elohim testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because Elohim had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased Elohim. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto Elohim must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Okay. So now, I've been reading these verses by faith. I told you we're going to add the blood to them, but I'm going to go ahead and read the blood into them now. It says in verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of Elohim of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heirs of the righteousness which is by the faith in the blood of the Yahshua, or the everlasting covenant. And when I said by faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, Noah being warned of Elohim. Okay. Actually, that's a better rendering right there, is by faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant. By faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, or the new covenant, or the second covenant, when he was called to go out It says Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed it and went out, not knowing whither he went. By the faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in the tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Okay. So it says Isaac and Jacob are heirs. It didn't say Ishmael and Esau were heirs. It didn't say that. Even though Abraham is the father of Ishmael, and Isaac is the father of Esau, and these are all firstborn, but they don't get the birthright from their father, because we're dealing with the being born of the flesh and born of the spirit. It's the younger one that's born of the spirit that's counted as the inheritor of the birthright. So it says, by faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, he sojourned in the land of promise. Okay. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is the Yahweh. Through the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Because she judged him faithfully, he had promised, therefore sprang there every even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky and the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Now this is pretty amazing, how Yahweh, because of Abraham's long patience and endurance and faith, he was rewarded. At the age of 100 years old, he was rewarded, and Sarah at the age of 90. So here they are, believing and acting on the promise, and fulfilling, by being faithful, fulfilling the prophecy to bring forth this prophecy that all the descendants of Abraham would be born unto through Isaac, not through Ishmael. Okay, so now it says right here in Hebrews 11:13, and these all died in the faith, in the blood of the everlasting covenant, not having received the promises, but having seen them afore off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly, wherefore Elohim is not ashamed to be called their Elohim, for he hath prepared for them a city. By the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall seed be called, accounting that the Elohim was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because he saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of the Elohim, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, for the esteeming of the reproach of the Yahshua greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Okay, so now he said he endured by seeing him who is invisible. Through the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood. This he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By the faith they passed through the Red Sea as by the dry land, which the Egyptians essayed to do were drowned. By the faith of the blood of the everlasting covenant, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies of the peace. And what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of the Gideon, and of the Barak, and of the Samson, and of the Jephthah, of the David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent in the fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of the cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover of the bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, as Isaiah, he was sawn asunder, were tempted with the, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in the sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy, for they wandered in the deserts and in the mountains and in the dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through the faith, received not the promise. For the Elohim, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Okay. End of chapter 11. Okay, let's continue on now with Hebrews chapter 12. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with the patience the race that is set before us, looking unto the Yahshua, as the author and finisher of our faith. And what is that faith in? The blood of the everlasting covenant that raised up our Savior, Yahshua, from the dead. It says so right there in Hebrews 13:20. It says that now the Elohim of the peace that brought again from the dead our Savior Yahshua, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. There you have it. Okay, so it says, looking unto Yahshua, the author and finisher of our faith, this is Hebrews 12:2, our faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of the Elohim. For consider him that endured such contradiction of the sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Yahweh, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Yahshua loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, Elohim dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, wherefore all are protected, then are ye bastards and not sons. Okay, it says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them a reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of the spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of the righteousness unto them of which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Fall at peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Yahweh, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of the Elohim, lest any root of the bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat has sold his birthright. For you know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, although he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burn with the fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of the trumpet and the voice of the words, which the voice of they that heard entreated that the words should not be spoken unto them any more. But they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned, or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto the Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living Elohim, the heavenly Jerusalem, and unto an innumerable company of angels, unto the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in the heaven, and unto Elohim the judge of all, and unto the spirits of just men made perfect, and unto Yahshua the mediator of the new covenant, and unto the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice in shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And now he's going to shake heaven this time. So apparently the stars are going to come falling down. We have at least 11 other planets in our solar system here that represent the 12 sons of Jacob. Let's continue on, verse 27. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken. Okay. As of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Okay, he started shaking at the house of Yahweh, Mount Zion, 11th hour, at Kermit, Texas, 2002. Okay, so, and Gilead Center was removed. Okay, it says, signify the removing of those things that are shaken. As of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. And so, the house of David could not be shaken, and it remained through that first shaking. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve Elohim acceptably with reverence and righteous fear. For our Elohim is a consuming fire. Okay, so he says, let brotherly love continue. This is in chapter 13 now. Of Hebrews, it says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Okay, now remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers Elohim will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will not leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Yahshua is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of the Elohim, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Yahshua Messiah, the same yesterday and today and forever, be not carried about with the divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with the grace, not with the meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Yahshua also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffereth without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of the praise unto Elohim continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices Elohim is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with the joy and not with the grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you rather to do this, that I may be restored unto you the sinner. Now the Elohim of the peace, that brought again from the dead our Savior Yeshua, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will. Working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through the Yeshua Messiah, unto whom be glory forever and ever. Hallelujah. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of the exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in a few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom he will come shortly. I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of the Italy, salute you. Grace be with you all. Hallelujah. Okay. So there are those that don't want anybody to have the rule over them. And so we're going to turn now and read about that in the parables of Luke 19. We're going to read about that. They sent a message out to him saying, we'll not have this man to rule over us. So the scripture is plain. It plains about believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. It says, obey those that have the rule over you. And that has always been the case when people reject truth and messages. They reject the messenger that brought the truth. And by doing that, they reject those that Yahshua has chosen to have the rulership over them. So it says that in Luke 19, and Yahshua entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich, and he sought to see Yahshua, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of the stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Yahshua came unto the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, and he came down and received him joyfully. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Oh, now isn't this amazing? The Pharisees. There they are passing judgment upon a little Jewish fellow, one of their own. They were glad to have Zacchaeus working for them because he extorted tax money out of the paper, and guess who got it? It was them Pharisees. Okay. Oh boy. It says in verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto Yahshua, behold, Master, the half of my goods I give unto the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by the false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Yahshua said unto him, this day of salvation come unto this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Now here's what happens when you have a true seed of Abraham that has been lost. This is one of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Yahshua found him up in a sycamore tree. Okay. And so he says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as he heard these things, he added and said, and spake a parable, because he was nigh unto Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of Elohim should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him. Hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Okay. And so their leader led out in this, saying, we're not going to have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, unto whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by the trading. So now he called these here ones. And came the first, saying, Master, my pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a little, very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Master, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise unto him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Master, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou thy money into the bank? At my coming I might have required mine own with usury. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it unto him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Master, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Okay. He says, and when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up unto Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he was come nigh unto Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of the Olives, he sent 2 of his disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereon yet and never man sat, loose him and bring him thither. And if bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because Yeshua hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the master hath need of him. And they brought him unto Yeshua, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Yeshua thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise Elohim with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Yahweh, peace in the heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I'll tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto that peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. Okay. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children are within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Yahshua in the temple. He says that, and he went into the temple and began to cast out of them that sold therein, and them that bought, saying unto them, it is written, my father's my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. Okay, and could not find of what they might do, for all the people were very attentive and to hear him. Okay, now let's go to Psalms chapter 37. It says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Yahshua and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. That's what we're looking at now. Remain in this here Texas, the land of Texas. Because old Satan is bringing a flood of illegal immigrants into this country from all four sides of this world, north, south, east, and west, and especially from the south. And he says, if you're going to dwell in this land and stay in this land, because he's going to purge all the evil back out of this land. And those that don't become sanctified, he's going to purge them out too. Delight thyself also in the Yahweh, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Yahshua, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Yahshua, and wait patiently for him. Here's that word patient again. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Says, fret not thyself. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Yahshua, they shall inherit the earth. This is the earth and policy of the United States. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Yahshua. So this again, this is talking about patience and waiting and enduring. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of the peace. For the wicked calleth against the just, and gnashes upon him with his teeth. The Yahshua shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of the upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Yahshua upholdeth the righteous. The Yahshua knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of the famine they shall not be satisfied. They shall be satisfied, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Yahshua shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into the smoke shall they consume away. So what's going to happen to your enemies? For the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth. This is talking about the United States. And actually, when it says inherit the earth, it's talking about Texas. Primarily Texas is the earth. Earth in prophecy is in the United States. Say what you want to now. Texas is the heart in the heartland of the United States right now, in the very middle of it, a little bit to the south maybe. And they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. For the steps of a good man are ordered by the Yahshua, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Yahshua upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful, and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Yahshua loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. For the righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. For the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of the judgment. The law of his Elohim is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeketh to slay him. Yahshua will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Yahshua and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I saw him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Yahweh. He is their strength in the time of the trouble. And the Yahshua shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Okay, that is wonderful promises. All one has to do is just read after David, after the Psalms. We're getting very close to the end of our study for this hour. As a matter of fact, we are at the end of it. We're going to bring this study to a close, and we're going to close it with a song. Actually, we got a minute left. So let's go on and let's read Psalms chapter 1 to close out our study today. It says that blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the unrighteous, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of Yahweh, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. It says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. For the unrighteous are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the unrighteous shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Yahshua knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the unrighteous shall perish. This brings in our study, our contest at the 11th hour call. We're going to close now with a song. Let the heavenly light shine through by Elijah David. Well, you would not have known about a wonderful yard you had created you. And you would not have known about his vast creation and all that he can do. So draw near unto Yah, remember to pray, let the heavenly light shine through. And Yah, in his mercy, when he comes again, will have a heavenly home for you. Let the heavenly light shine through, let the heavenly light shine through. And Yah, in his mercy, when he comes again, will have a heavenly home for you. We would not have been a creation of earth if Yah had not come down. He spoke the word, all creation heard, and the world started spinning around. They spoke the word, and the light appeared, he divided it from the night. And Yah saw that his work was good, created by his mind. Let the heavenly light shine through, let the heavenly light shine through. And Yah in his mercy, when he comes again, will have a heavenly home for you. Well, you come up on a mountain and you look around. There's a green valley below. There's a moon up above that's shining with love. There's a peaceful river that flows. There's the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and all the heaven can spare. And to think that this is just events of what's waiting over there. Let the heavenly light shine through. Let the heavenly light shine through. And y'all in the mercy when he comes again, we'll have a heavenly home for you.